from the Morongo Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Well, it's Heidi and Frank's show. Russell Howard, comedian from the UK, he just got in town, and he said, I'm going to go straight to the show. So let's get him in here.
Hey!
Good to see you. Nice to meet you. I'm Frank. Nice to meet you.
Frosty. What's up, Russell?
Frosty, nice to meet you.
I've been to the Grand Canyon with my mum.
You've been to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, with my mum.
Did she say, look at that?
Do you know what she said? She actually, we traveled around America for 2 months doing a TV show. And at the end of it, she went, I've learned something about myself. And at the Grand Canyon, she went, one of my armpits smells more than the other. That was the thing she'd learned about our entire time. She was like, I'm uneven. And it turns out, on the left, she smells more.
I'm a righty.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that a genuine thing then?
Yeah.
So you approach people like a crab. You just go...
Right side is more sweaty and smelly, and my left one is dry as a bone and smells like nothing. Mm. And it's like one overworks.
Don't you have that same
affliction? I have the same thing. This Niagara Falls on the right and Sahara Desert on the left.
Really?
Weird. Yeah.
Wow, there
all
you
my
go.
Shirts are stained in the right pit and fine in the left.
So, Russell, you're completely drippy and smelly on equal.
I'm pretty even. Yeah,
all right, that's nice.
But that was balance. The thing. All of us were then smelling ourselves to see if we could figure it out. But I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But I've been mocking my mum. It turns out
she
was right.
No, she's normal. You're the abnormal one of your.
Well, that is absolutely not true.
So you've been to the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
I mean, how many did you get on the list?
What's the list again?
Mount Rushmore in South Dakota.
Didn't do that.
Didn't do it. No Golden Gate Bridge.
Nope.
Not worth it.
No.
Not worth it.
National Mall in D.C.
Nope.
Yosemite National Park out here.
Nope.
We did Yellowstone.
Nope. We did meet a man in Atlanta that was a sword swallower. And he teaches
that
people
counts.
Over the internet, which I thought was pretty intriguing. Yeah, imagine that. You've got to have some reliable broadband. Otherwise you're in real trouble. But he was the most, you know when you meet someone who's so bored with their job? He's a sword swallower, and he did it in such a ho-hum, just put this blade down his gullet, but he was so...
It's another day at the office.
Yeah, completely. And it was just, he was the saddest man in America. I couldn't get enough of him. There should be a black and white documentary.
Yeah. Was his instructional video, was it helpful?
I didn't look at it. I was just, but it's what he told me. Went, from time to time to make extra money, I do it over the internet. He was just so broken. I couldn't get enough of him. But we couldn't show him on the TV show because he was too bleak.
So he was trying to kill himself. He was unsuccessful every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it.
I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I never even understand how you become a good sword swallower. Like, how do you just? Is it one day you're sitting?
Oh, come on, Heidi.
I mean, are you a kid and you got a butter knife and you're like having breakfast and you're like,
baby steps. Oh, start small.
I'm actually kind of good at that.
And when you pull it, it's like checking the oil. Are there levels of see how much fluid you had in your stomach? Hey, wipe it off.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm dehydrated. Look how dry my sword is.
Russell Howard is with us. Now, you're on this world tour, and there's no doubt. I mean, he says you're playing 19 arenas in the UK, then 43 cities in the US, Canada, Australia, China, Europe, and New Zealand. Now, with so many different, regions of the world, what is the one common denominator when it comes to comedy? Because,
the common denominator at the minute is that we're all sort of angry with our leaders. And we sort of think they're all beneath us. Like politics in England, very similar to politics over here, that there's the right are so rabidly right and the left are so rabidly left that we look at them and just none of them speak for us. So politics in England is very much Brexit means Brexit. I want my country back. And over here, what are we going to call female fishermen? And it's exactly the same over here. There's no one in the middle talking about what we care about, you know? So, and it's the same across Europe. You know, there's this sort of like sweeping kind of nationalism. And
I know France's election right now is going on.
It's nuts. Really, I don't know if it's intriguing over here, but it's fascinating for us in England just to see if Le Pen wins. But
who's right?
Yes, yeah. She's proper. You know, her dad was, you know, part of the National Front. So, yeah.
Is there any talk in Britain of reinvading and taking over the country? Because clearly we've lost our minds with the past election.
All right.
You got to be scared of Trump and everything that's going in the past election. Is
you mean
Britain
taking
going,
over us? Going back to the old days?
What are you insinuating? Yeah. I mean, we're quite polite. There's no way we're taking anything back. So where are we going to invade?
I think America. You did it quite well in 1812, 1796, whatever. It's time to take us back over because clearly we don't know what we're doing.
Well, nor do we, man, though. That's the problem. It's just the thing is, it's why are all the dissenting voices in politics always right wing? That's the thing. Like, I understand why people are angry because the haves have more, the have nots have less. But it's sort of intriguing in these times where there's no Gandhis or Martin Luther Kings. It just feels like you don't hear that kind of left wing voice. Certainly in England, the only ones that get any of the attention are the kind of angry people.
Now, Russell, I saw a lot of your videos online, which is brilliant, from your specials. This is a gold mine with politics right now.
Yes, yeah, it's fascinating, yeah. So you guys must find that as well, though. Yeah. But what's it like in the States sort of chatting about Trump? That's what I'm intrigued, because I'm going to some intriguing places.
You don't really bring it up and talk because people are so passionate, so polarizing.
Yeah, right.
It turns to anger and arguments. And
sometimes here in stand-up comics, and I've seen it, they'll be on stage and they'll do a Trump reference or a joke, and there'll be somebody in the audience who is so pro-Trump that they'll get pissed off.
Yeah.
And one guy actually had a drink thrown in his face. I mean, he's on stage performing, and this woman gets up, throws a drink in his face, and leaves. And it's like, you're going to a comedy club.
Oh, I can beat that. I once had a dildo thrown at me.
Wow. Yeah, imagine that. Me too.
Where were they keeping it?
But a lady
stuck
threw it to me.
Shirt.
No, it hit my face.
Your face?
Yeah, man. I was like a grubby, you know, Neo from The Matrix, trying to dodge it. But it begs the question, how little faith did that woman have in the evening
she entertainment?
Just to kind of think, well, just in case.
Days of tomatoes.
Just in case he does politics, this is coming out.
What's always interesting to me is, you know, even if you make a legitimate funny joke about Donald Trump that doesn't have anything to do with politics, you're just making fun of something that can be made fun of. Yeah. People go at you, oh, left wing liberal. I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. That was a funny thing. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm supporting
him
or not.
The thing that intrigues me about him is the way he just he explains things in such a simplistic way, that ISIS are so bad, so naughty. Like that, and you think, it's always the same thing. I'm going to get tough on them, so tough. But he never actually says anything, you know.
And he says nothing, and does nothing.
But he's like a 1950s gang leader. We're going to get even. He's kind of riding around in letters.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Well, it's good you have your world tour happening right now, because we'll all die in a nuclear fallout at any
get it
point
done.
With North Korea and everything we have going on right now. So you're getting around.
Well, last week was 2 weeks ago, where it was kind of like with Syria, Russia, North Korea, it was really odd, because I went to sort of Coachella as well, and you're sort of reading all the papers and stuff, and then you're suddenly in this odd little bubble, and you kind of go, think, we could all
of
die
love
tomorrow.
And happiness.
Yeah,
and,
it was really strange, man. Yeah, it was a really odd time to be. I've never been to an American fair. All I've been to is Glastonbury.
We should just do drugs and have sex, because it could all end
How
tomorrow.
Was it? How'd you like Coachella?
I really enjoyed it, but it was very similar to English festivals, but entirely different. So it was like, oh my God, you're dressed as a unicorn. Whereas in England, it would be, oh my God, you're dressed as a unicorn. it was exactly the same, but like, you would never be proud of your life choices. But I really enjoy, I love the positivity. That's why I love coming here. I love the sort of doing comedy here. It's just so joyous. Like, I'm quite famous.
We need it.
No one, but it's, you're just so happy. Like, I do gigs in England and I'm quite famous. And when you're working up new stuff, there's very, go on in, mate, go on in, prove it. Whereas here, there's just like, yeah! You know, the giddiness of all, like, whenever you see an American comic walk on stage, you go, been married now for about 20 years, the crowd applaud. That would never, you know, in England, it would just be, have you? Well, you better have some stories about how much you hate each other. Because we're English, we haven't come here for happiness. But I kind of find it really sort of refreshing.
Are the English not willing to laugh as much? Like, they'll nod in approval of that humor. Like,
yeah, well, it's sort of, it's really like England. If you make them laugh, they'll go, yeah, you got me there. You won't get me again. Don't you think about it. You know, I'll just put my teeth back. Whereas, and then you sort of, if you do gigs in Holland, it's even more, it's just like, they'll just, like, a blink is good. It's kind of really fascinating, you know?
So yeah, I guess when you're going over to, like you said, New Zealand and China, so when you're at a Chinese audience.
Yeah. Never done it. I'm really excited. We had to submit the material, and there's a guy in...
Word for word, your act, you had
to... Yeah, but it was a gig that we did in a place called Swindon in England, which has lots of roundabouts. And I was talking about that. So there's a dude in the Chinese government as we speak that's going through my set, trying to decipher it and figure out all these references. What a bad
job. If you stray from the script, the approved script, you could be in trouble. You could be arrested.
Possibly. Who knows? Well, we did a gig in Dubai and recently, and there was all sorts of things you weren't allowed to do, you know. And one of my friends who was supporting me, he was chatting about booze and he had a bottle of beer and the guy went, lose it. And he had to drop the beer because it seemed to be promoting alcohol.
I thought terrible in Dubai, though. I know the Middle
and
East.
He was doing it in a bikini, which was like,
that's
you know.
Bad too. I thought Dubai was like Middle East Vegas.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, yeah. But it turns out that he was nearly in the slammer for a Heineken.
Like, so all those cool buildings and there's no booze.
Oh, there's booze in the buildings, but you can't be seen to be promoting the lifestyle on stage, allegedly.
We would never go over well.
That was it. It was just, but you sort of forget how often you just kind of, like, you're telling a story. Oh, it's really good, it's having a beer, which, you know, is fine if you need a beer. But, you know, in that moment.
You know, I've always been amazed by the difference of what you can say on the public airwaves there in England, and you can't say here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, there's words we can't say on the radio. I watched the Graham Norton show or BBC America in the comments. You can say F words, you can let all these bombs fly, Gordon Ramsay. You don't bleep that stuff over there.
No.
And the page two girls showing their breasts in the newspaper and all that stuff. But over here, you can't swear, you can't show nudity.
Yeah. Well, we've sort of just got rid of page three, which is our biggest selling paper. Used to have that on page three. There would be a girl with her norks out. So you'd have like...
And there was Samantha Fox started...
Yeah, right. So for years, it would just be that thing of, you know, big news on the front, and then the second page, it was almost like, don't worry, here's some tits. that's kind of gone away.
And it's one of the words we had to get that you can't say.
Yeah, Russell Howard.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry, I apologize.
It's all good. Sorry. It's good.
Yeah, you can't say that on the radio in America.
I'm incredibly sorry.
So
Russell Howard, comedian from the UK, is going to be performing a stand-up routine at the Roxy on May 20th. You can get your tickets currently available at axs.com, axs.com. Frosty has been to England many times. That's his destination. Look at that tan.
I'm half Irish and half English.
Oh,
and I'd like to show you where my family is from. Okay. In Surrey, you ever heard of Dorking?
I have heard of Dorking. The Dorking Halls is a lovely, lovely
Dorking
place.
Whores?
Halls, my Halls. Friend. You're not allowed to say that on the radio.
Godalming, Dorking, Guildford, that's where the family's from. Here I am. My last name is Stillwell, and I actually found, dating back to the year 1000, the oldest family tombstones from the church 1000, and the actual Stillwell, the well from which the name springs.
Wow.
The water source that gave me my name 1,000 years ago. There I am standing by it. Isn't it cool?
It's very cool. It's a pretty bleak place where you lived, isn't it? I mean, the people at home can't listen, but it looks like a really, really dilapidated forest.
Well, here's a house we used to own 500 years ago.
Oh, that's all right. You're doing okay there. Yeah. Did they ask you to leave? Look at that.
What's this guy doing in my front yard?
You can see it at home. It's basically a man leaning over someone else's fence.
I picture me up in the window. That used to be my house. It was my yard.
Wow.
How soon after that picture was taken did the guards come out? The
Please
dogs.
Yeah, I got chased away.
Release the hounds.
That's a nice house, man, because they've got an intercom. You don't really have that in England.
I think, you know, don't even lie. That was Downton Abbey. Didn't you go to the set over there?
That's different, too. That's near that. It's very close to Downton Abbey.
Frosty. Wait. I've never heard of a Frosty.
Russell, I'll show you how special I am.
Any second, I'm going to sick the hounds on you, Frosty.
I was granted access at sunrise to Stonehenge.
Oh, hello.
Look at me. Here I am crawling around the stones.
I tell you what, that's very naughty because you're not allowed to touch them stones. How did you get
Frosty,
in there?
You're not allowed to touch them.
I am special because we used to own the land.
You look like you're being rude.
We owned the land.
Used to be still well in. Yeah, the spring's right near there.
Yeah, I used to get dragged along to those every... Because my family are from a place called Bristol.
I have been to Bristol, yes.
Yeah, so you sort of go en route and you see Stonehenge. Not a lot going on, is there?
No, it's smaller than you think when you see it.
Just rocks in the middle of the field. There's loads of pictures of us as kids. Did you ever, you know, shell suits when you were a kid? Did you ever wear them?
Oh, like a
kind of like leisure wear. Like they were a big thing in the 90s and sort of bowl haircuts, you know. There's loads of photos of us like that, just kind of in the wind. Not dissimilar to that, man. Did you enjoy Stonehenge? You've got more pictures here.
I have one more. I found the family pub that was there like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So I sat the same family pub drinking beer where my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents was called the King's Arms.
Oh, wow. Look at that. It would be great if there was a picture of your great-great-great-great-grand on these bars. Get this bloke out. That's fantastic.
Why are all the pubs that are called King's Arms, the King's Head, the Goose's Arms, the Queen's Breasts? The prince's.
There's one called the Queen's Breast.
Well, I mean, there probably is, man. There's like the Rat and the Parrot. There's a place called, there's a pub near where I'm from called the Rat and Parrot, where I had the best over conversation is in Bristol from Noah's. But yeah, my daughter's mouse died. So what I done, I got a toy car, I put the mouse in a car, dug a hole, buried it, deal with that, the people of the future. Extraordinary attitude to death, isn't it? That is the cool thing about English pubs. There's always a nutter in the corner. Did you meet any?
Not that I know of.
I love it, man. Yeah. We're very good at that. There's always sort of a wild sort of one bloke, like maybe he's got one tooth, but loads of stories.
Right. That's why I thought you went over there.
Well, I go over to
maybe you're the nut. That's why.
I'm the village nut. I've returned.
Seamus from the sea.
They're overhearing your story.
So you're from Godalming. That's quite a well-to-do area.
It is now. What it was back then.
It's where all our sort of soccer players live around there.
It's too expensive for me now. I can never afford it. But I actually brought back some of the actual weeds from the old Stillwell Field.
You brought back weed from
weeds. Okay. I stuck it in my shoe because you're not supposed to bring, you know, agricultural products back to California. But it's in my sock. So I've got, I planted those when I got home. So.
He also introduced rabbits to Australia that one time.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, that worked out.
It's really funny that, you know, they did do that in when I went to Australia. English people took loads of foxes over to Australia because they needed something to hunt, which is just hilarious. The idea they released and suddenly there's crocodiles and kangaroos and all this thing. But the the foxes, they eat all the penguins. It's horrible.
Penguins?
Foxes eat penguins in Australia, and the penguins basically swim in the sea, and at night you can watch it, and they basically all come out of the sea and they run really, really quick as they can to get into a hole to go underground, and the foxes sort of chase them.
Morgan Freeman doing this? Thing? And the fox killed another
waddle.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because they're like so sleek in the water. They're so fast in the water, but then they get out and it's just like, I don't know. It's the most bizarre thing.
Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it? The fact they've got wings and they can't fly as well.
Can't do vicious.
So they must be looking down, going, "God damn it!"
They're all trying to lose weight so they can fly someday, and they just can't.
I've often thought that if you came back as sort of like a ghost or something, it'd be a really joyous thing to sort of lift up a penguin, make him look like he was flying to freak out the others.
You hold a dog over water, and they do the swimming motion. You're just holding your penguin. Yeah.
I knew it would happen.
Fun, man. Russell, thank you for stopping by. Good luck on your world tour.
Yeah.
And follow Russell on Twitter at Russell Howard. And he's going to be performing at the Roxy.
Yeah, come along. It's a tiny little venue. And there's many tickets left. Come along.
many tickets. Do we have anything to give away?
We should go. Let's go to that.
Yeah, come along.
We'll definitely stop by.
Sweet.
Get your tickets. AXS.com. We got to take a quick look at traffic. What's going on, Bill?